Homeless Souls. Synopsis. Prologue. The curtain opens on a dead-end alley off of a busy street. On one side of the alley, a new modern office building stands. On the other side of the alley stands an old, broken-down tenement. The alley is littered with piles of trash and debris. There's a large commercial trash bin somewhere in the alley. It is morning, and there is mist lying close to the ground. We hear the sounds of the city waking up. Traffic, shrill police whistles, jackhammers, the sounds of heavy construction equipment. As the sounds of the city become more rhythmic, the overture music picks up and melds with the city sounds as they diminish to the point where they are barely audible. As the orchestra rises, so do several homeless figures from what appeared to be piles of debris just moments ago. They sing Homeless Souls, led by Ward, the protagonist and storyteller, who appears a little too pale, almost translucent. During the song, Ward transforms from a homeless person dressed in rags to a somewhat shabbily attired businessman. At the end of Homeless Souls, while the rest of the cast enters some form of theatrical suspended animation, Ward moves downstage and delivers the prologue. He reiterates what's just been sung in Homeless Souls. He welcomes us and says that he was once like us, successful, happy, at ease, but that he had become homeless, and that now he is condemned to retell his story until we all find our homes. But for now, says Ward, relax and enjoy the show. Scene 1. Ward rejoins the action and meets Bill, his friend and co-worker. Bill is here to make sure that Ward meets with the building inspector who is coming to inspect the tenement so that it can be condemned. Bill chastises Ward for his appearance and his aroma of alcohol. He starts to explain why the big boss wants the building condemned when Sam, the big boss, appears on his way to work. Sam then beckons Bill to join him at work in the office next door for some important business discussions. As Bill and Sam exit, they almost knock down two women who have come on stage. One of the women, Faith, is a social worker who is bringing a homeless woman, Phoenix, to the tenement that serves as temporary housing for homeless people. Ward, who is still on stage, recognizes Phoenix as his ex-wife. He turns his face away so as not to be recognized. Phoenix is so wrapped up in her current problems that she doesn't notice him. Faith and Phoenix sing No Place Like Home, a song that looks into the difficulties associated with temporary housing. After the song, Phoenix double-takes on Ward, shakes her head as if to say, "That's not him," and exits into the building. Faith moves downstage and is assisted by the chorus as she sings What Can One Person Do? As Faith moves off, the building inspector wanders in, clipboard in hand, and asks Ward if he is a representative from Samco, who is supposed to meet him and give him access to the building. Ward replies that he is, and that there's been a big mistake, and that they no longer want to have the building condemned. The inspector is angry and wants to know why he wasn't notified before he made the trip. He hurries off in the direction of the office building to talk with Sam, his old buddy. Ward follows in hot pursuit to attempt some damage control. Phoenix emerges from the tenement as Diego, a young street punk, comes forward. He is a teenager and has followed Phoenix to the shelter. When Phoenix comes out into the street, Diego hangs back, stalks her, then grabs her from behind and spins her around to face him. She is alternately terrified, shocked, and recognizing Diego as her son, relieved, then angry. She implores him to join her, but he knows that if they find out she has three kids instead of two, she could lose her place at the shelter. Besides, he tells her, he's doing okay, and sings an account of his rise in stature in the gang, "Mama, if you could only see." As Phoenix exits, Diego meets Danny, his friend. Danny brings Diego up to date about himself in the song Just 16. Alvin, a member of Diego's gang, gives Diego a gun and warns him that if he doesn't kill Danny, that the other gang members will think he is soft and that they will replace Diego as leader. Diego reluctantly agrees to do it. Scene 2. We're able to see into the sleek office building, into a conference room. Sam is obviously agitated. He asks Bill if he agrees that Ward has to be let go. Bill, realizing that he is being tested, reluctantly agrees. We hear several gunshots from the tenement side of the stage. This prompts Bill to ask Sam why he wants to build in this area, with all the crime, poverty, and drugs. Sam explains that once he has redeveloped the area, it'll be too expensive for the present residents to continue to live there. Where will they go? Asks Bill. Not my problem, responds Sam. Sam, assuming the role of mentor, tells Bill that he can't worry about those bums in the street. He tells Bill that his own father was a bum and a boozer who never had time for his family and who disappeared when Sam was just a child. He tells Bill about a local organization of business people who asked Sam to donate money to help the homeless. Putting good money after bad, if you ask me. Sam explains the roots of his wrecking ball philosophy of urban renewal in the song My Old Neighborhood. Scene 3. It's evening now and we're back on the street. All throughout the play there have been homeless people milling in the background. Bill wanders onto the stage and sings If That's What It Takes, a song about having fired Ward. At the same time, Diego wanders on and joins in the singing about how he shot his friend Danny today. After Bill exits, Ward comes back on stage. He stands in the alley searching the windows of the tenement for a sign of Phoenix, his ex-wife. He's a little tipsy and has a bottle and a bag in his hand. Frustrated and lonely, he sings Where Are You Tonight? Phoenix, unaware of him, joins him as they sing a duet. At the end of the song, Vet, one of the ever-present homeless people, comes forward and asks Ward if that's his old lady. Used to be, Ward replies. Vet says he doesn't blame him for not letting his old lady see him. He doesn't want his family to know where he is either. Vet asks for a drink and Ward obliges. A bond is formed between the two. Vet introduces Ward to some of the other homeless people in the alley. When Ward meets Mary, a young, modestly attractive woman, he comments that he thought that all homeless women were bag ladies. Mary, who is not surprised, explains that she too had a lot of misconceptions about homeless people when she was a housewife not so long ago. She sings about these attitudes in Not My Job. Ward is buoyed by the levity of the situation, and his inebriated state invites everyone to the local bar for a drink. Vet, however, declines and opts to stay behind in the alley alone. Phoenix comes to the window of the tenement and sings Dream Your Own Dreams, a song lamenting how her life has turned out. At the end of the song, Vet is moved downstage and is talking to himself. He segues into Who Goes There, a song about his experiences in Vietnam. As the song progresses and he moves deeper and deeper into his flashback, we see shadowy figures entering the set from unusual entrances. One or two climb out of the trash bin. Although it is dark, we get the impression that these shadowy figures are the Viet Cong that Vet is imagining in his trance. The shadows move more quickly as Vet begins to panic. They begin to close in on him. At the very end of the song, one of the shadows appears to be beating Vet. Abruptly, the lights come up, and we see that it is Diego beating Vet out of his anger and frustration over having shot his friend. Scene 4. It's the next day in the alley. We hear Ward moaning as he comes to. Vet is there by his side. Vet shows evidence of the battle of the previous night. Ward asks Vet what happened. As he is explaining, we see one of the homeless people doing an odd spastic dance to no music. Ward asks what's wrong with him. Vet just shrugs and says he doesn't know. The lights slowly dim as the music that the dancer hears becomes more apparent to us. The dancer twists and turns to the busy falling sound. Suddenly, the song turns into I'm Mad, a song about what happens to you when you forget to take your medication after leaving the hospital. At the end of the song, Bill and the inspector emerge from the tenement. The inspector posts a condemned sign on the building. Bill thanks the inspector and apologizes for the mix-up yesterday. Vet and Ward hide in the alley and eavesdrop. After Bill and the inspector exit, Vet and Ward go up to inspect the notice. It's a 30-day eviction notice from the health department. Ward wonders if there's anything that he can do to help his ex-wife. Vet says that it seems like there are fewer and fewer places for people like us, meaning he and Ward can stay. Ward becomes angry with Vet. I'm not like you. I can take care of myself, he says, and storms off. Oh yeah? I can take care of myself too. I just have a few problems, Vet retorts, and exits in the other direction. Faith enters and reads the notice on the tenement door. Phoenix enters, obviously excited, and crosses quickly to Faith. Phoenix tells Faith that she got a job and that it's a good one. The pay's not much, but there is a daycare for her littlest. They sing together, a song about how much easier it is to accomplish things when we work together. At the end of the song, they discuss the eviction notice on the door. Phoenix is confident that she can afford a better place now. Scene 5. Ward comes on as they exit and addresses the audience directly. He delivers an impassioned soliloquy for help, compassion, and action. At the end, he explains that it's now evening and that he is returning drunk. He spots Vet and apologizes. He tells Vet that he was thrown out of the place that he was staying and that he has no money and nowhere else to go. Vet tells him that's okay and says, "You see, we're not so different, you and I." Vet offers Ward a little medication, and together they sing Self-Medicating, an ode to alcohol and what it has done to them. At the end of the song, Ward collapses into a drunken pile and the scene ends. Scene 6. It's the day after. Emergency medical technicians are working upstage on what appears to be Ward's body. Bill, on his way to work, sees that it is his old friend Ward. The body is carried off the stage in a gurney. Bill comes downstage and sings But for the Grace of God. In the middle of the song, Ward comes back out on stage and stops the music. He tells the audience not to worry about him, that he is still alive, if, as he says, you can call this living. And with that, the music picks up where it left off. Curtain, the end.